All right, so we are holding on the last line of Dalet Omer Beis. And we're in the middle of discussing the mitzvah Bal Ta'acher, that if you made a promise to Hashem of Korbanos or various other things, which we discussed before, then a person doesn't fulfill it within a certain amount of time. He's over on a mitzvah called Lois Sa'acher B'Shalmei, which we're calling Bal Ta'acher for short. So we had a long list of the items. Good morning, Ali. We had a long list of the items to which that applies, which we're going to take up that list on Hayom and Beis and start discussing them. We had five different opinions of Tanoim, how many Yom Tovim, how many of the Sholosh Regalim have to pass before a person is over. We had the Tanakama said three Regalim, doesn't matter the order. Reb Shimon said three Regalim to Sidron, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot in that order. Reb Meir says one, Reb Elazar ben Yaakov says two, and Reb Elazar ben Reb Shimon says Sukkot, regardless whether it's the first or the last one. So we're in the middle of discussing. We said that a couple of the Tanoim learn from the fact that it says at the end of the list of the Shalosh Regalim, it says Shalosh Pam Bashana. It says that everybody should appear in the Beis Mikdash b'Chag Matzos, b'Chag Shavuos, b'Chag Sukkos. Why does it need to list those again? So therefore, Reb Shimon uses that to say that it means that you have to have those three in order. Reb Elazar ben Reb Shimon focuses on the gears that we have in front of us is that he says that it didn't need to say Chag HaSukkos. He says that it doesn't need to say Chag HaSukkos. As far as Reb Shimon, actually, I said it wrongly yesterday, that Reb Shimon learns from the fact that it says Chag HaMatzos, the fact that it didn't need to say that, since that's the first one on the list. So therefore, it means that has to be the first one on the list, and it goes in that order. First Chag HaMatzos, then Shavuos, then Sukkos. And Reb Shimon focuses on the fact that it says Chag HaSukkos. That Tosfos brought such a girsa from Rabbeinu Hananel. Anyway, so we were in the middle of discussing then. So the Tanoim who don't learn from that, who learn from other Pesukim, that you have one, Reb Meir, who says one Yomtiv, Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, who says two, what are they doing with that Pesuk, the Chag HaMatzos, the Chag HaShavuos, the Chag HaSukkos? So we said that ultimately, as far as Pesach and Shavuos, we're making a hekesh, the Pesuk is telling us to make a hekesh between them, that there's such a thing as Tashlumin for Shavuos. Given that Shavuos is only one day, you have 6 days after it to bring the Korbanos, the Ola Su'iyah, the Shamit Chagiga, that you didn't bring on Shavuos itself. We learned that from this hekesh. So we said, in that case, why don't you instead make the hekesh between Shavuos and Sukkos, and say, therefore, that you have one more day, because when it comes to Shavuos, you have 8 days total, not seven like you do by Pesach. And ultimately, we answered it's one of those things to fast the merubah like the faster, and therefore, if you have a choice between seven and eight, we're going to go with seven. So the Gemara says, Ela, l'may hilchsa kasper rachmona l'chag HaSukkos. Well, in that case, according to that, why did the Torah write Chag HaSukkos in that passage? If according to the Meir and Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, we're not learning from that list anyway that we're anything about Bal Ta'acher, we're learning that it's one Yom Tov or two Yom Tov based on other Pesukim. And we're saying that Pesach and Shavuos are only there in order to make a hekesh between them, just like Pesach you have 7 days, so Shavuos you have 7 days. So why does it write Sukkos at all, according to them? And the answer is La'akushe L'Chag HaMatzos. The reason is to make a hekesh between Sukkos and Pesach. Ma Chag HaMatzos Toun Lina. Just like when it comes to Chag HaMatzos, you have to stay overnight in your Shalayim. You can't just say, okay, I brought my korban, let me leave right away. You have to stay overnight. Rashi uses the expression, you have to stay overnight, Loyal Chuloy Shomoyed, the night of Chol HaMoed, which means, in other words, the point is, you can't just say, forget about your korban Pesach. The point is, at least on the first day of Yom Tov, you have to bring your Oila Suriyah and Shami Chagiga. Then you have to stay over the first night of Chol HaMoed and then leave only the next morning. So just like Chag HaMatzos requires that, Af Chag HaSukkos Toun Lina, the same thing would be true when you come for Sukkos as well. That we find out from this hekesh. So Tosfos discusses over here actually the pros and cons of, is that correct that when we say Toun Lina, we mean that you're allowed to, so if you brought your Ola Su'iyah and Shami Chagiga, you can turn around on the morning of Chol HaMoed and start heading home? Or is it in fact that you have to stay over for the entire Yom Tov? And Tosfos says, maybe, after all, if nothing else, fine. An Ola Su'iyah, you only need to bring once during the whole Yom Tov, but you have a mitzvah of Simcha throughout the whole Yom Tov, and that involves bringing Shlomim or other kinds of Korbanos and eating the meat of it. Ain't Simcha Ela B'Basar. Okay, so Tosfos says, maybe not. Maybe you could be Yotze Simcha in other ways. So Tosfos goes back and forth about it, whether what lina means over here, whether it means that you have to stay for the entire 7 or 8 days of Yom Tov and leave only after that, or whether, like Rashi is saying, you might be allowed to leave during Chol HaMoed. Rashi himself, in fact, elsewhere uses an expression that you can stay someplace within the out. You can say that during the rest of Yom Tov, you can stay someplace near your Shalayim, not necessarily in the city. You could stay like within the Tchum or within a day, or maybe not even the Tchum. On Chol HaMoed, you're allowed to travel more than that. You can stay within a few miles of your Shalayim and just come every day to bring your Korbanos, etc. So that factors into this as well, whether we mean that Lina means you actually have to stay every night in your Shalayim, or whether you're allowed to stay in the immediate area, and every day you'll travel to the Beis HaMikdash and bring your Korbanos. Anyway, so that's what we're learning from this Hekesh of Chag HaMatzos and Chag HaSukkos and Chag HaShavuos as well, that each of them, you need Lina. So the Gemara says, "V'hosam menolon." Where, in fact, do you know by Pesach in turn that you need lina? And the reason is dichtiv ponisim abroker v'halach d'la'olach. Because the pasuk describes you come on Pesach to the Beis Hamikdash. Then it says you turn around in the morning and you go back to your tents, meaning your houses. Now the morning can't mean the morning of Yom Tov. You're not allowed to travel. Not just you're not allowed to travel. More to the point, Rashi says you have to appear in the Azara. You have to have Yeroa kol zechurcha. The fact that you came on Erev Pesach and brought your Korban Pesach is not, you're not Yotze with that, because you still have to bring your Ola Sri'iyah and Shaman Chagiga, and those have to be brought sometime during the Yom Tov itself. Okay, maybe not on Yom Tov, maybe not on the first day Yom Tov itself, according to Beis Shammai, according to them, you have to wait till Chol HaMoed, but at least sometime during the 7 days of Pesach, you have to do that. So if it says a Fonisa Baboyker, must mean the morning of Chol HaMoed, and then we're saying you turn around and go home, telling us, therefore, that you need Lina. So we learn from that the same thing applies to Sukkos. Not everybody agrees, in fact, in the end, that it is Toh and Lina. You have over here the little Aleph over here, and you look in Ein Mishpat Ne'er Mitzvah, you see only the Smag brings it. The Rambam does not mention this concept of Lina, all he mentions it only in connection with Bikurim. So there are some of the Noisikalim on the Rambam that learn, in fact, that maybe the Rambam would say, all Gemara is talking fine. We're talking according to the Meir and according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. The halacha in terms of Baal Ta'achar is not like them. So therefore, not necessarily do we have a source to say that you should need Lina by all the other Yom Tov. Maybe, in fact, you can bring your Korban and leave right after that. Okay. Next, with Tanakam of Rabbi Shimon Ben Elazar, it says, but that's a mistake, because it means Reb Shimon, regular Reb Shimon, who says that you need three regalim in order. So Tashlumin Latzeres Menolahu. We said that according to the other Tanoim, we're learning that Shavuos has Tashlumin from the fact that you have the Hekesh b'Chag HaMatzos or b'Chag HaShavuos or b'Chag HaSukkos, and that's so. According to them, you have two different Hekeshim over here. You have from Pesach to Shavuos, namely that Shavuos has Tashlumin, and from Pesach to Sukkos that they both require Lina. So where do the Tanakama and Rav Shimon know about Tashlumin for Atzeres? So that's the thing. As far as the Gemara doesn't ask about Lina, and that may be, as we just said, because maybe Taka they hold that in fact you don't need Lina. So therefore the Gemara doesn't even ask about that. But everybody agrees that Shavuos has Tashlumin. So where do we know that from? The answer is Nafkalahu Mitzoni Rabba Bar Shmuel. They're going to learn it from a different source, what Rabba Bar Shmuel taught. The Toni Rabba Bar Shmuel, he teaches in a Braitza. Omra Torah Menei Yomim V'Kadosh Chodesh. The Pasuk tells us to count a certain number of days and then be Mekadosh the new Chodesh by bringing Korbanos on it. And we know, in other words, the point is, when we say Menei Yomim V'Kadosh Chodesh, among other things, it means that a month has to consist of a whole number of days. We know that from one Moilad to the next one is, on average, Chavtes Yubeis Tashtag. 29 days, 12 hours, and 793 chalakim. You shouldn't think, therefore, that a month can consist of 29 days and X number of hours. No, you have to have, it has to be a complete number of days, because it says, and the reason is because the pasuk says, ad chodesh yomim, implying that a chodesh has to consist of yomim, of days. So the Torah is telling us to count a certain number of days and then make Rosh Chodesh holy by bringing korbanos on it, and minei yomim, v'kadosh atzeres. The Pasuk similarly tells us, count a certain number of days, 49 days, and then make Atzeres, Shavuos, holy. Therefore, we learn from that, Ma Chodesh Lemenuyei, Af Atzeres Lemenuyei. So we say like this, the Chodesh, you have the units of which the Chodesh is made up of are days. And you have 29 or 30 of them as the case, maybe. The same way, the unit that Shavuos is made up of is weeks, because you have to count weeks up towards Shavuos. So therefore, since the Yom Tov Shavuos itself is only one day, then therefore that implies that you have the entire rest of that week to bring the korbanos. So Shimon and the Tana Kama can learn from there. Tosfos over here discusses. Is that really the correct girsa? After all, what do you mean Omra Torah? The Torah doesn't say necessarily in so many words. It doesn't say in so many words Menei Yamim V'Kadosh Atzeres. In fact, we have the famous thing where Tzedukim held that the counting to Shavuos begins on Sunday, and Shavuos is always on Sunday. And so calling it Omra Torah would imply that something that says explicitly in the Torah and the Tzedukim can't possibly argue with it, and we know that they did. So Tosfos brings a different girsa that maybe it's not Menei Yamim V'Kadosh Chodesh, Menei Yamim V'Kadosh Atzeres, maybe it's Menei Shonim V'Kadosh Yovel, that Beis Din has a mitzvah to count the years up to Yovel. And again, the idea being, in other words, that the Yovel is made up of a certain number of Shmitas. It's made up of seven Shmitas. And the idea is that Beis Din has a mitzvah every year at the beginning of the year to count and say, just like we count Sfiras HaOmer, Hayom Yom, whatever, Lo Omer, they have a mitzvah to say Hayom Shnas, whatever, La Yovel. There's a Tosfos in a different place. In Chagiga, you also have this Gemara almost word for word, so we'll get to it. You know, in a few months, Beis Hashem, Tosfos says over there that maybe the Gemara is in fact implying that with a Chodesh, maybe Beis Din has the same mitzvah also. Maybe every day of the Chodesh, they have to count and say Hayom Yom, whatever, La Chodesh. Anyway, so the point is, again, a Chodesh is made up of days, and therefore a Chodesh is one day, and that's the day you bring the Korbanos. The same thing, Shavuos is made up of weeks, and therefore it means you have a week to bring the Korbanos. So the question is why? Why? Maybe in fact the point is that the Shavuos is only maybe in fact Shavuos is only the fact is the Yom Tov itself is only one day. Maybe after all the amount of time you have to bring the Korbanos of Shavuos is one day. So Amar Rava, so Rava says, of course not. What do you think? After all, do we only count days up till Shavuos, not weeks? You have a mitzvah of both. You have a mitzvah to count days and weeks. In fact, the very Yom Tov itself is called the Yom Tov of weeks. So it's true. The amount of time until Shavuos is made up of a certain number of days, but it's also made up of a certain number of weeks. So in a way, you have both. In other words, you have one day to bring the korbanos musafim of it. We're not going to say, for example, that if you didn't bring the korban musaf on Shavuos or the shtei lechem or whatever, that you should have a week to do that, because that the Torah tells us that the Yom Tov is only one day. But when it comes to tashlumin for the Ola Sriya and the Shaman Chagiga, there we're going to focus on the fact that Shavuos is also made up of weeks, and therefore that you have an entire week to bring them. So again, the Tana Kama and Reb Shimon are going to learn from that you have those extra 6 days to bring the korbanos, and therefore that's that. So they're going to learn that. They're going to learn that from the Hekesh of Chag HaMatzis to Chag HaShavuos. So therefore, they're using the Hekesh of Chag HaMatzis, Chag HaShavuos. No, they're not using it as a Hekesh. They're using it as a list to say that this is the number of Yom Tovim, or this is the order of the Yom Tovim that you need before you're over on Baal Ta'achar. The fact that you have Tashlumin for Shavuos, instead they're learning from this comparison with Rosh Chodesh. Okay. Next, in the list of korbanos that we said a person is over on Baal Ta'achar, we had at the bottom of Galat Amun Aleph the list of things that a person is over on, and one of them was that it mentioned Bechor, Meiser, and Pesach. So the question is, Pesach, what do you mean the Pesach, a person is subject to Baal Ta'achar? Pesach zimne kvile, you have a fixed time to bring the Korban Pesach. E akrivei, if you brought it on your Dalad Nissen, then you brought it, good. And if not, then it's pushed off, and you don't bring it as a Korban Pesach. So what are we talking about, that you have however many regolim, there's no other regal, there's no regal at all that you bring it on, even Pesach itself, you don't bring a Korban Pesach on, you bring it on Erev Pesach. And Tosfos teaches out the question. So in that case, he should be over as soon as Erev Pesach passed, and he didn't bring this animal as a korban. So the answer is Amar Rav Chista. The Gemara gives two answers. Amar Rav Chista, Pesach kedi naspa. The The first answer is, Rechista says, okay, the Braisa mentioned Pesach unnecessarily. It's a very common thing in Mishnayos. We have it, for example, in Ezer Mokoyman to mention Bechor, Meiser, and Pesach altogether. They have certain similarities between them, as we say in that Mishnah, the Domonton Matona Achas. And in fact, the Gemara in Zvachim, and then at the end of Psachim, says that we learn one from another as far as this that you have only Matona Achas. It only says explicitly by one of them, and we learn from it to the other one. And you have a machlokas what exactly that consists of, whether shvicha or zrika, whatever. The point is that they have a certain connection between them. So here, the Braisa needed to mention Bechor and Meiser. Sure, a person is over on Balta Acher if he doesn't bring his Bechor within the year after it was born, or he doesn't bring his Maisa Behema within Shalosh Regola, we'll have many Regolim after he designated it. So therefore I mentioned Pesach as well, even though you're right, Pesach doesn't really belong in the Braisa, says Rav Chista. Rav Shesha says, no, there is a need for the Pesach. My Pesach shall make Pesach. You know what we mean by Pesach? We don't mean the Korban Pesach itself. We mean the Shlomim that a Pesach becomes if you don't bring it in its proper time. So now, in other words, a person designated his animal for Korban Pesach. He didn't bring it on Erev Pesach. For example, Rashi says, Rashi and Tosfos both mention that you could have where, for example, he lost it, and so he took a different animal and designated himself instead as his Korban Pesach, that he ended up bringing that other one. Then after he did that, he found the original animal. So now that animal is not going to be brought as a Korban Pesach anymore, where he was already Yotze his Korban Pesach. And he's not going to need it for Pesach Sheni, and he can't save it for next year's Pesach because it can only be within a year old. So therefore, it becomes a shlomim. So now those shlomim, if he delays bringing them three to Golem, he's going to be over on Baltach. So the Gemara says he hochi hainu shlomim. Well, then that's the same thing as shlomim. We already had the shlomim in the list of korbanos in the Braisa. So then, so according to that, why are you mentioning Pesach? And the answer is, Tana Shlomim Aboy Machmas Pesach, but Tana Shlomim Aboy Machmas Atzman. Because according to that, you can say the Braisa is talking about separately two different types of Shlomim. There's Shlomim that come as a result of the Korban Pesach, like we're saying it was supposed to be a Korban Pesach, and now instead it's being brought as Shlomim. And then you have the regular kind where you bring them to begin with as Shlomim. Why does it need to list them separately? So Tosfos actually discusses there is an opinion in Masechet Psachim, that an opinion of Ben Tema that says that these shlomim haboyim machmas Pesach, in fact, do have some dinim different than a regular shlomim. They're more like a Korban Pesach in that sense. There's a shorter amount of time to eat them, unlike a regular shlomim where you have 2 days. This one you only have 1 day. And then the Gemara discusses over there various other things that Ben Tema might hold about these shlomim. So according to him, there's no question why we have to mention, but we're talking according to the Chachamim, who say there's no difference. These are regular Shlomim, Shnei Yom V'Layla Echad. So why mention them separately? Because Sakad HaDechamina, you would have thought to say, given that this Shlomim is being brought only because it was supposed to have been a Korban Pesach, a Pesach Domu, maybe they should be like Korban Pesach, and as soon as the first regal passes, already you should be over on Baal Tacher. Kamash Malon, therefore, the Braisa is telling us that nevertheless, it's true, it was very Machmas Pesach, but the fact is, it's not a Pesach, now it became a Shlomim, therefore it has the rules of a regular Shlomim, and now you have three Yom Tovim to bring it, or however many Yom Tovim according to the different Tanurim, and if not, then Baal Tacher. Okay. So now that we established the sources,
Pesach Sheni.
Pesach Sheni would have the same rules. Same principle. In other words, if you brought it on Pesach Sheni, then good. And if not, then it becomes a Shlomim. There's a whole discussion we had back in Masechet Psachim. There's a whole discussion what happens if you shechted it between Pesach Rishon and Sheni. If you didn't end up bringing Pesach Rishon, do you need Akira? Do you need to explicitly say, I'm bringing this as a Shlomim? Or implicitly, maybe it becomes a Shlomim. There's a discussion about it over there. But yeah, other than that, Pesach Sheni has the same dinim as Pesach Rishon. You brought it, then good. If not, then it becomes a Shlomim.
So why can't you bring, instead of bringing it as a shlamim, you bring Korban Pesach on Pesach Sheni? It's stronger, isn't it?
That's why Rashi stresses that we're talking about over here, where your original one got lost and you brought a different one. If it was, for example, you didn't bring it Pesach Rishon because you became Tomei or what have you, sure, you'll bring it for Pesach Sheni, no problem. But once you already Yotze Pesach Rishon, you don't bring Pesach Sheni.
Okay. Thanks for the clarification. Fine.
Okay, so now that we went through the five Tanoim and we explained where each of them gets his opinion from, now let's talk about the list of things that were in that Braisa. We had a long list of various kinds of korbanos, various kinds of donations for the Beis Mikdash, as well as matnas aniyim and tzedakah. So menohani mili, where do we know that Baal Ta'achar applies to all those things? So the Tanan Abanam, we learn in a Braisa. The pasuk says, ki sidur neder, it starts off, if you make a neder. So first of all, any other neder, from now we know that there's a difference between a neder and an adava when it comes to korbanos. Neder is you say harei olai. The obligation, it's a chovas gavra, as they call it in yeshivish terms, the obligation is on you, the person. I'm obligating myself to bring such and such a type of korban. So if you later on designate a particular animal for that purpose, and it gets lost or stolen or becomes a balmum, etc., then you are chaya bachriya, so you have to go get a different one. You're not yotze, you're neder until you bring it. As opposed to nedava would be you say hare zeh. The chiyuv is on the animal itself. That you, to begin with, say, I obligate myself that I'm going to bring this animal as a korban. Now, if for whatever reason you can't bring it, then we don't hold them responsible because it was supposed to be this animal and you don't have this animal anymore. So, ainli elam neder, the Gemara says, so if we only have the pasuk yisidur neder, you would only know that this concept of Baal Ta'achar applies to a neder. Nedava minai, and how do we know that it also applies to a nedava, that you have to bring it within the right amount of time? So, nemer, so the reason is Xeder Shabbat. Nemer, kan neder, but nemer lahalat mi neder o nedava. Here it just mentions neder. In a different place in Torah, a pasuk in Parashat Tzav, it uses the expression im neder o nedava, so it puts them in the same breath. Therefore, malahal nedava ima, kan nedava ima, the same way as over there. The word neder also goes together with nedava, the same way we're meant to understand that here by Baal Ta'achar in Parashat Kisetze, they go together. And when it says neder, it means nedava as well. In fact, Tosfos says, really, the Gemara didn't even need that. In the Pesukim about Baal Ta'achar itself, it continues. It says it gives the mitzvah, you should fulfill and do whatever you said with your mouth. So right there in the pasuk, it mentions nedarta and nedava together. So Tosfos doesn't explain why the Gemara didn't use that. Maybe because that's already by the mitzvah saseh, you need to know by the mitzvah loisaseh that they go together. Okay. Anyway, so there we know that a nedava as well, so that justifies what we said in the Braisa, that it applies to nedarim and nedava. Next, okay, so actually let's quote the whole pasuk first. The whole pasuk goes like this: Ki sidur neder laHashem alekecha. If you declare a neder to Hashem alekecha, loy sa'achar l'shamay. Don't delay in paying it. Ki dorish yidrishenu Hashem alekecha me'imach, because Hashem will most definitely demand it from you. V'hoya v'chochet, and you will have a sin if you don't do it. So the Gemara is going to douch in this phrase by phrase and see how we learn from that all these different things. So again, so kisidur neder, from the fact that it says neder and nedava elsewhere together, we learn that over here with the nedava also. Lashem alekecha, when it says that you make the neder to Hashem, elo hadamim ha'erchem racharam v'akdesh. Those refer to all the different things that a person is donating to the Beis Mikdash. All of them are kodshe bedek habayis. All of them are Lashem. In a sense, the Kohenim don't get anything out of them. When you give damim to the Beis Mikdash, for example, it goes to Bedek Abayis. Unlike, for example, when you make a neder and a java with pretty much any kind of korban, the Kohenim are going to get something out of it. If it's an oila, they get the skin. If it's a chatas, you can't do a neder and a java for a chatas. Never mind. If it's a shlomim, then the Kohenim get the chaz of a shoik, etc. But on the other hand, kodesh bedek habayis, the kohenim don't get anything out of it. So therefore, all these ones are concluded under Lashem alekecha because they go exclusively to Hashem. Tosfos teaches out that actually by each one of them, it says explicitly Lashem. By erchin, the erkecha defashas Lashem. By charamim, kodesh kadoshim hu Lashem. By hekdeshes, kiyakdeshes, vese, kodesh Lashem. So each of them, it actually says Lashem, and therefore we can say that Lashem alekecha in our pasuk refers to them. Now, Tosfos learns, as we talked about yesterday, that when we say charomim over here, we also are including cherme koyim. Now, those are not Lashem. Those go to the koyim of the current Mishmar. Nevertheless, Tosfos says, once we have a posif that says kodesh kodoshim hu Lashem, by charomim, then to a certain extent that pasuk does also apply to Chermei Koyanim in the sense, it's true they're not Lashem because they go to the Koyanim, but until you give them to the Koyan, they're considered Hektish and you're not allowed to have Anah from them, so therefore that can be included under this heading as well. Next, the pasuk continues, when it says you should not delay in bringing it, so Lashalmoy means to pay it. Meaning, we learn from that, who v'loi chilufav, the din of Val Ta'achar applies only to the original korban, not to its chilufim, not to the exchange of it. What that means, we're going to talk about in the Gemara soon. Next, the pasuk continues, ki dorish yidrashenu, Hashem will demand it from you. That means, he will demand it from you. Eilu chatois v'ashamas, eilus v'shlamim, that refers to these korbanos, chatois and ashamas, which are required of you, nidroshin mimcha, in the sense that you're obligated to bring them. You did such and such a thing, now you have to bring a chatas or an asham, so that's being demanded of you, it's not something voluntary. As far as the oilus and shlomim, also you have, so we're not talking about oilus and shlomim that are in a neder and a dava, those we already covered at the beginning of the pasuk. Here we're talking about the oilus re'iyah and the shamin chagiga, which you're required to bring. So that's also dodesh yidrashenu, it's going to be demanded from you that you bring them in a certain time. Now Tosfos mentions over here a chatas and an osham, fine. If you don't bring them after the shalosh regalim, there's no deadline for bringing them. You could end up bringing them much later. You're over on Bal Ta'acha, but as the Gemara is going to say, the korban is still kosher. But when it comes to Olas Ru'iyah and Shamech Hagiga, again, if you don't bring them by the end of the Yom Tov or the end of the days of Tashlomin, then you don't bring them, then already over a regal in a chay bach riusay. So what are we talking about over here, Bal Ta'acha? The Tosfos says, fine, but you still have, the animal itself is not possible. So the same thing, you designated a certain animal, this is going to be my Urvus Ru'iyah for Pesach. You didn't end up bringing it Pesach. Fine, you missed your opportunity. You're not going to be able to make that up because Pesach's already gone, but nevertheless, you still have a mitzvah to bring that animal as your Urvus Ru'iyah on Shavuos. You didn't do it on Shavuos, do it on Sukkos. So therefore, we can still be talking about Urvus Vashamas that you still, Bal Ta'acha is relevant to them. Tosfos also mentioned that maybe what it is when we say over here in the Gemara that Dorash Yudushenu includes all four of them, Chatoris Hashamas, Olas Hashlamim, maybe actually we're really only learning Chatos from Dorash Yudushenu because you have the expression Dorash by a Chatos, by Moshe with Alazar and Isamar and Parashat Shmini. The Esira Chatos, Dorash Moshe. He was asking about what happened with it and they told him that it was boom. And then the other ones we learn because you have a hekesh, you have the pasuk that we say in morning korbanos zoyis hatorah la'olah la'mincha la'chatas la'osham la'miluim la'zevach hashlamim, from which we have a hekesh between all the korbanos. Tosfos says then in that case then why do we need different psukim that we say, why do we need different parts of our pasuk over here of kisidah neder to learn all of them? If you're going to say that we can learn from that hekesh, then we can just learn them that way. So no, we do learn certain dinim from that hekesh, that all korbanos are compared one to another as far as certain dinim, but not as far as this din of Bal Ta'achar. For that, you need the various things that we're saying in the Gemara Arvi. Okay. Going along, the Braisa continues, Hashem Alekecha, it repeats again in the Pasuk, Hashem Alekecha, Fidurash Yidrashenu, Hashem Alekecha. So from those words, we learn, Eilu Tzedakah, so Meiser, so Bechur. From those, you learn that also Tzedakah and Meiser and Bechur, that those you also have to bring in time. Now, after all, because the Hashem, it didn't have to say Hashem Lekecha, I'd already mentioned him earlier in the pasuk. So how do we learn those? So Rashi says, because by tzedakah, it says the expression of l'chotia tzedakah l'fnei Hashem Lekecha. So we see that tzedakah is associated with Hashem Lekecha. Bechor and Meiser, the pasuk says, v'achalta l'fnei Hashem Lekecha, maser d'goncha, and it mentions Bechorus in those psukim as well. So we learn, therefore, that Meiser and Bechor are also included in Hashem Lekecha. And Meiser means both kinds. It means Meiser behemah, and it means Meiser of animals. Next, when the pasuk continues Me'imach, that Hashem is going to demand it from you, Elu zeleket shikcho peya. That tells us that also Bal Ta'achar applies to leket shikcha and peya that are supposed to be going to the aniyim. All of them, it says, as ha'oni imach, the oni with you, in Kesef Tal Ve'asami, it says, therefore, the word imach over here refers to things that go to the aniyim. And v'hoya v'chochet, when the pasuk finishes off, if you don't bring it in time, then you're going to have an avera. V'cho means v'loy v'korban chochet. There will not be an avera in your korban, in the sense, in other words, the korban does not become fossil by delaying it. it's true that you are over on Baltacher by not bringing it after three regalim or two or however many according to the different tanoim, but the animal is still kosher for a korban. Of course, as long as it hasn't aged out, you have certain korbanos that have to be within a certain age range, and if that time passed, of course it's going to be possible. We're not talking about that. We're talking about where there's no age limit. So then, as long as once the animal reaches the point where it's considered zokin, where it's considered old, then it's possible because it's not respectful to bring an old sick animal like that as a korban. But we're not talking about that. We're talking from the point of view of yes, the three golden were over, but nevertheless, the korban is still kosher. Okay. Now let's analyze that a little bit. So we see that the loisa achal shamay means that Baal Ta'achar applies to the original korban itself, but not to the exchange of the korban. So what do we mean by an exchange? Now an exchange could mean a tmura, but it can also mean, for example, like we talked about before, where the original one was lost, you brought a different one as a korban, and then the original one turned up. So chilufei mai. What kind of chilufim are we talking about that we need a pasuk to tell us that that Baal Ta'achar doesn't apply to them? If you're talking about the replacement for an olo shlomim, what do you mean? Why shouldn't Baal Ta'achar apply to them? Mikra of Karbi. You bring them as a korban. You have a you were going to bring a korban ola. The animal got lost. You brought a different one. Now the original one turned up. You still bring it as an ola. So why shouldn't Baal Ta'achar apply to it? Same thing with a shlomim. If you're talking about a chatas, then lamisa azla, we know halacha l'moshe m'sinai that the exchange of a chatas, when the skapruba, in this example, when the skapruba ala ba'achar, when they ended up using a different animal as a korban, we know when the original one turns up, it goes lamisa, you lock it up in a room, so you don't bring it as a korban, so obviously Baal Ta'achar doesn't apply to it. And Tosfos adds, in the parallel case of an osham, the din would be that you send it off to graze until it develops a mum, and then you sell it and you use the money to buy an ola. The Tosfos brings actually Rabbi Tam hold that strictly speaking, the ikra din, you would be allowed to bring it as an ola, but the Chachamim said not to for reasons that the Gemara discusses in various places in Seder Kodeshim. So therefore, according to that, the Gemara doesn't even mention Osham over here. It's true then. The Gemara could have said that we're talking about Chilufei Osham, and at least on a Daraisa level, you would bring it as a korban. But nevertheless, the Gemara wants to find something that's going to apply more broadly. The Chilufei Ola and Shlomim, yeah, they themselves are brought. Chilufei Chatas goes Lamisa, Chilufei Osham goes the Re'ia, and again, according to Rabbi Natam, Mi'ikra Din could be brought as an Ola, just the Chacham said not to. And elam my chilufav. So what do we mean by chilufav? It must be referring to chilufay toida. Suppose that you have a mixed up toida. So Rashi explains that we're talking about over here. Let's say you have, as the Gemara is going to give us the example, where you have not that you were makriv the first one and then the second one turned up, but a slightly different case where the second one turned up before you shechted the first one, and then they got mixed up, and now you don't know which is which. The Tani Rav Chia, Todesh and Isaiah b'tmurasa, because Rav Chia teaches us a braisa that if a Todesh gets mixed up with a Tmura, so a Tmura could be straight out where the person said this one is instead of this one, where he's over on the Issu Loyach Lefenuv LaYomiroisa, but nevertheless both of them have Kedusha, v'ahiyahu t'murasa y'kodesh, or it could mean what we were talking about, there it has to mean that. Now if they got mixed together, umesa achas mehen, if now one of those animals dies, chavata ein la takana, then there's no takana to bring the other one as the tmura, because heichi leved, because how would you do it? Likrov of lechem b'hadah, should we bring the remaining animal together with the 40 loaves of bread that go together with the toida? Can't. Maybe this one that's still alive is the tmura. And the din is, you do bring the tmura of a toida as a toida, but without the lechem. So therefore, you can't bring the lechem with it. You do bring chulin into the azar. Liquid of a beloy lechem, and should you say you bring it without the lechem? Can't. It might be the original toida, and that has to be brought with the lechem. So therefore, there's nothing you can do with it, so therefore you'd have to leave it until it develops a mum, etc. So therefore, so we could be talking about that case. We can't be talking about that case. Well, if that animal can't be brought as a korban, then what do you need a pasuk to tell us that that bal ta'achar doesn't apply? In other words, again, we're saying the Braisa said that bal ta'achar does not apply to chilufa. So if we're saying that it's talking about chilufa toda, the case that we just talked about, of course bal ta'achar doesn't apply. You can't bring it as a korban, period. So what exactly is the pasuk being memayit? Something that we're saying you could bring as a korban, but nevertheless bal ta'achar doesn't apply. What is it? If it's something that you could bring as a korban, bal ta'achar should apply. If it's something you can't bring as a korban, then of course bal ta'achar doesn't apply. In fact, the Braisa is telling us that bal ta'achar does not apply to the exchange for an olo or shlomim, but not where we're talking about, not the regular case where we're saying that you have the new one and 3 year golden pass, but rather the scenario would be suppose you have the original animal that you were going to bring as an olo or shlomim. Two regalim passed and you didn't bring it yet. You have one more regal to bring it, and if not, you're going to be over on bal ta'achar. V'humam, now it developed a mum. V'chila lo yalachar, so you were mechalalet on another animal because now you can't bring the original one as a korban anymore. So you swapped it out for another animal. Now, to do a tmura, you wouldn't be allowed to, but this is, we're talking about you were mechalalet. A tmura means that you're saying, I'm exchanging this one for that one. A chilul, which is the way that you're allowed to do it, means you're saying, I'm taking the kedusha of this one and transferring it to that one. So that you're allowed to do. So in this case, he transferred the kedusha onto a different one. But overall, of regal echad, and now one more regal passed, and he didn't bring the new one yet. Salkatai dechamina. So Rav Shesha says, without the braisa telling us, you would have thought, after all, what makes this new one a korban is it's coming from the koyach of the original one that you were mechalal on it. Therefore, commander overall of Gilgamesh Golem Dummy. So we should consider as if 3 year Golem passed and this animal was not brought yet. And therefore, you should be over on Bal Ta'achar. Kamash Milan. Therefore, the Braisa is telling us that no, not to say Bal Ta'achar doesn't apply to it at all. Bal Ta'achar doesn't apply with the combination of the amount of time that passed with the previous one. The clock resets now because you have a new animal. Okay. So the question then is, Rav Meir, do Amar Kivin Sha'aval of Regal Echad over Bal Ta'achar? No, according to Rav Meir, we said only one Yomtiv passes, and already you're over on Bal Ta'achar. My equal Meir, how are you going to explain, according to him, why we have to say, who v'loi chilufav? According to him, there's no such thing. In other words, if you didn't bring it after one Yomtiv, you're already over on Bal Ta'achar with the original one. So there's nothing to talk about whether you are or aren't over on Bal Ta'achar with the second one. And the answer is Amar Rava Hach Ma'askin Kugan Shuhumam B'Soicha Regal. The case could be where the mum developed during the Yomtiv, V'Chiloloi, and he was mechalalet on another animal, but over all of a regal, and the rest of the Yomtiv passed, and he didn't bring it. So now, had it been only one animal the whole time, then yeah, as soon as Yomtiv is over, he's over on Bal Ta'achar. But because here it was switched out for another one in the middle, therefore the clock resets. But you would have thought not. Again, given that it comes from the koyach of the original one, it's only being brought because you had the original one and now you had to be mechalalet on this one. Commander over the kula regal dummy. Maybe it should be counted as though the whole regal passed on this one, and you should be over on Bal Ta'achar by the end of that yomtiv. Kamash Milan. Therefore, the Braisa is telling us that not. That in fact, Bal Ta'achar, the clock resets. Even according to the mayor, you need one complete yomtiv to be over to pass before you're over on Bal Ta'achar. Therefore, let's say it developed the mum in the middle of Pesach. He's going to say you have now until the end of Shavuos to bring it before you're over on Bal Ta'achar, or the end of the Tashlumen of Shavuos, whatever, before you're over on Bal Ta'achar. So that's the chiddush of the Braisa when it says v'loy b'chilufa, who v'loy chilufa, doesn't mean that Bal Ta'achar doesn't apply to chilufa when they're being brought as a korban. It means that those chilufav, the clock resets for them. Okay. Next, we said in the Braisa, v'hoyah b'chochet v'loy b'korban chochet. We said, we learned from the words that it says v'hoyah b'chochet, there will be a sin in you, implies, but not
Alexander.
Yeah.
Can you just, I missed that. I didn't hear you exactly.
We were just saying that, in other words, the point is, when it says the loy b'chilufav doesn't mean that Baal Ta'achar does not apply to chilufim. We're saying it does apply to them, but the clock resets for them. According to the Chachamim, in other words, no matter, even if you have however many Yom Tovim passed, we ignore those and we start over counting the three. And according to the mayor, it means that it was during a Yom Tov. We don't count that Yom Tov towards the one that he says you need for Baal Ta'achar, because you have to have that the animal was available for a korban throughout the entire Yom Tov, and here you don't. It was only available during the original one was half of Yom Tov, and the new one is the other half of Yom Tov.
So what's the halacha?
The halacha is like the chachamim, that shalosh regalim, regardless of the order. But still, when we're explaining the braisa and the drashas that we learned from it, we need to be able to explain them according to all the opinions. Okay. Next, we said in the Braisa, we said that if a person is over on Baal Ta'achar, he himself has committed an Aveira, but the Korban is not possible. So the question is, are we learning that from here? We have a different source for that concept, a drosha that Acherim say, which usually means Remeir. Now, like this, you have a bechor, you have to bring it as a korban. You're supposed to bring it within the first year after it was born. Because the pasuk says you're supposed to bring it shana shana every year. So you would think then that if the year passed and you didn't, bring it, it should be posel, kipsulei amukdash, and maybe it should be considered like psulei amukdash, like an animal that developed a mum. Or like you have, again, we said before, there are certain korbanos where you have an age limit to them. So maybe a bechor should be like that. It has an age limit of 1 year. The posel, and therefore it should be posel. It's really disturbing over here. Is it possible to not wait with the quackling of the plastic so much? We are trying to learn. That's fine. But, okay. Right. Rashi also makes a point over here that after all, a year, almost nearly always, a year includes three regalim. Now, the Gemara is going to talk about, we're going to talk about on Vav Amud Beis, you do have a potential scenario where you have three, where you have an entire year passes and three regalim haven't happened. We're going to talk about in terms of a solar year we're going to get to tomorrow, but ordinarily a year contains three regalim. So therefore, so you would think now that three regalim have passed, maybe the Bechor should be posel. The pasuk says you should eat it before Hashem, the maaser of your grain and wine and oil, and the bechorim of your cattle and your sheep. Therefore, makash bechor lemaaser. So we have a hekesh between the bechor and maaser of produce. When it comes to maaser of produce, we know it doesn't become possible if you didn't bring it during, if you didn't give it to the levium or the anim or whatever during the year. And we know that because after all, you have the whole concept of beer maaseris, that only after 3 years do you come to a point when you're required to give it out to the people, and then you say vidui maaser. So it doesn't become possible from shana l'chaverta. Tosfos mentions that earlier there had been a long Tosfos that talked about when do we say Baal Ta'achar would and wouldn't apply to Meister? Would we say possibly that it doesn't? That Baal Ta'achar does apply if you didn't give the Meister that you already designated? Then we could say Sholesh Shonim, that it says that you have 3 years. Would we talk about if you didn't designate it yet? You took your produce, you stored it in your barn. You decided I'm not going to be eating it yet. I'm not going to be selling it. I'm just going to leave it there to age or whatever. So fine, then you have 3 years to take the maestris from it. But once you took the maestris, Tosfos learns you would be over on Baal Ta'achar Sholosh Regalim. Still, though, the point is, in other words, the fact is that we see that maestro does not become possible after a certain amount of time, because we're saying you didn't give maestro last year, you're still giving it this year from last year's produce. So the point is, therefore, so just like maaser doesn't become possible from 1 year to the next, ach bechor ed nifsum and shana l'chaverta, the same way neither does a bechor. So we see from that, therefore, that it doesn't become possible even though you were over on Baal Ta'achar. So why do we need the words v'hoya bechor chet, from which we learn v'loy bechor von chachet, to teach us the same concept? The answer is itzrich. We still need it. Because otherwise you would have thought, you know what, fine. You know why a bechor doesn't become possible no matter how much time passes? Because after all, the bechor is not coming for hatzah. You're not bringing a bechor because you need kapara or a present to Hashem or something like that. The bechor is a special kind of thing. The Torah tells you a bechor belongs to Hashem. So it's not really, you're not bringing it because you did an Aveda and therefore you bring a Korban. You're not doing it because I want to give Hashem a gift like an Ola or a Shlomim. It's more, it belongs to Hashem. So you're bringing it to Hashem, what belongs to him. So therefore, you would say that fine, then there's no deadline for it. Abba Kodshim de Bnei Hatzaninu. Kodshim, after all, you're coming to that Hashem should accept you, whether it's because there was an Aveda and you're asking Hashem for forgiveness, whether it was because you want Hashem to, so to speak, to like you better. So therefore, you would think, look, you bring them by Aveda, you made the neder, you waited so long to bring it, you were already over on a mitzvah, Bal Ta'achar, maybe the Eivishter will not accept it. Kamash Malan, therefore, we need to be told, even by other karbanas, it still works and you can still bring it as a karban. So the Gemara says, Va'kati, but still, midben azay nafka, still, we don't need the words v'hoya v'chochet to teach us that concept. We learn it from what Ben Azay says. Netanya ben Azay omer, oisay ma tamud loymar, when the Pasuk says, the Pasuk says, in connection with pigul, the expression in the Pasuk is, it will not be acceptable. We know that pigul is where they had a thought, they had machsheves zman while the korban, during one of the avodas of the korban, that they were going to eat it or sprinkle its blood outside of the time when the Torah says to do that. So the pasuk says lo yerotze, it will not be acceptable as a korban. Hamakriv oisa lo yechashev, the one who brings it as a korban, who brings it as a korban, it won't be counted as a valid korban. So why does it have to say oisoi? So Netanya ben Azar Omer, oisoi matam and leimar. What do we learn from that word oisoi? Lefi shenema loisa achar l'shamay. Since the Pasuk tells us, don't delay in paying off your neder or nedava. Shemei ani af ma'achar nidre b'val yeratze. You would think, therefore, that if a person delays, then maybe also lo yeratze applies, and therefore the korban is not acceptable because he brought it later than he was supposed to. No, tamad lema oisei. Therefore, the pasuk is saying that oisei only pigul oisei b'lo yeratze v'en ma'achar nidur b'lo yeratze. So therefore, so we learn from that only pigul is not acceptable, but delaying your neder is not lo yeratze. The korban is still acceptable. So we have that drasha from the word oisei. So why do we need the drasha from the words v'hoya b'chochet? And the answer is, you're right. Ella, you're right. We're not going to learn from b'chochet means v'loy b'korban chachet. You're right. That concept we can learn from the word oisei. Rather, b'chochet v'loy b'ishta chachet. Rather, when it says v'hoya b'chochet, means the aveda will be on the person himself who failed to do bal ta'acher, who failed to bring the korban in time, v'loy b'ishta chachet, but not that his wife will end up getting punished for that. Now, what does that mean? Sakra and Chamina, Hoyo v'omer Rabbi Yechon and v'itamer Rabbi Lazar, Ein ishte shal oda mesa, elim ken mevachshim ben a mamen v'ein loy. A person's wife, a man's wife doesn't pass away unless money is being demanded from him and he doesn't have. Rashi, Tosfos brings over here that Rashi elsewhere explains that this means, for example, he stole money and doesn't have what to pay back. Tosfos over here and in those other places says that actually it means in context of the Gemara we're talking about over here, it's Nedarim. He made a neder to bring a korban or give tzedakah or what have you, and he doesn't fulfill it. So therefore, and he doesn't, and be'ein lo, he doesn't have. So then he can be punished by having his wife taken away from him. Now, how is that fair? I mean, she's an independent person of her own. There is actually an interesting Musa de Kavort that I saw on this from Abchaim Shmulevitz. He says the vote is, what do you mean you don't have what to pay? If you feel that you're indebted, you feel that this is a debt, you're going to find some way to pay. You'll work a third job or something to raise the money. What does it mean if a person is saying, I'm not going to pay? I mean, he says, I don't feel indebted at all. Well, you know who it is, he says, you know who a person should feel most indebted to in his life is his wife. So if he has this kind of mentality, I don't have to be indebted, then the Eivishter can say, in that case, then you don't need a wife either. So you would think, therefore, that the same thing would apply to Bal Ta'achar, that if he's over on Bal Ta'achar, he may be punished by losing his wife. He also adds, Reb Chaim also adds, the vote is, we know that when we say that the Eivishter is Dayan Emes, what it includes in it is, but he says like this, this is a well-known vote from before him also, when a human court punishes somebody, so they take into consideration what he did, they can't take into consideration the effect that the punishment is going to have on his family and his friends and whatnot. It'd be impossible. Every person knows a lot of people. Elamai, they focus on the accused and that's that. The Eivishter is not that way. When he punishes Pliny, he also takes into consideration the effect that it's going to have on various other people who know him and his relatives and whatever, which is part of the idea why it is that davening for somebody else is effective. So therefore, so the verdict is that here you have, if his wife is anyway herself guilty of something that she might be chayav nisa for, then the Eivishter can say, you know what, if the guy hadn't failed off to pay his neder, then fine, I'd give her a break in his chus, because after all, it's not right that he should have to suffer. Heyos, that he himself has this avera of not paying off what he's supposed to give, then therefore I'm not going to overlook what she did. Anyway, so you would think, given that that's the case, where he doesn't pay his neder, Shenemar, and we know that because the pasuk says in Ein L'chol Shalim, the previous pasuk says, "Be careful about making the dorim," and it continues, "Im Ein L'chol Shalim." If you don't have what to pay, Lama Yikach Mishkavcha Mitachtecha. Why should it have to be that Hashem is going to take away from underneath you the one that you lie with, meaning your wife? So therefore, we see from that that when a person is mevakshin men a moment ve'ein loy, then the Eibishter can take away his wife, and for that. So you would think ema b'hai oven de bal ta'achar nami ishtei mesa. So you would think the same thing might apply to bal ta'achar. Kamash malon. Therefore, the v'hoya b'chochet is saying this is different. In other words, that there's a difference between when the person, in other words, Mephoshim explained, there's a difference between what when we're saying over here, Ein Ishta Shalot Mesa, is when he decides, you know what, I'm not going to pay the neder at all. I know I made the neder, I don't feel like paying it. Or actually, Rabbi Yaakov Emden has a long discussion about it. He says, maybe we're not even talking about somebody who brazenly says, I'm not going to pay it, but somebody who to begin with makes the neder, knowing that he doesn't have the resources to pay it. So Shlomo HaMelech is telling him, Mishlei, what do you think you're doing? Don't you realize what danger you're putting yourself and your wife into? Mashenkin, we're talking about over here, he eventually does pay it up. He's just doing it late. Instead of doing it within Shalosh Regalim, he delays. So for that, we don't say Ishta Shalot Mesa for that, because eventually he does pay it all. They do talk about, actually. There is actually a machloikas. Whether that applies to meiser of grain and things like that, meiser of produce, or whether it also applies to tzedakah. Not everybody agrees that that concept of b'chonin no b'zayis applies to tzedakah. But so if we say that it does, then fine. Then, but what does that have to do with this? The point is, in other words, right. So according to that, then maybe there wouldn't be a problem doing that. But there might still be the distinction, though, you know, sort of like you have a distinction in Hilchos Shabbos, at the very beginning of Hilchos Shabbos, where we have, on the one hand, it says, Asei Shabbat Chachol, Bal Tzarach Abrius, and on the other hand, it says, Levua Live Ani Perea. So one of the distinctions is, do you in fact have, if you're going to borrow money, are you in a circumstance where you have some expectation that in the future you're going to be able to pay it back? Then Lavua Live Ani Perea. Mashenkin, if you know you're in a situation where you're not going to have that, then I say Shabbat Chachol. So you can make a similar distinction over here. You can have a person who doesn't have right now, but he knows in the near future, he expects to be able to have what to pay his neder, versus where he knows to begin with that nothing doing. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden, as I said, has a long discussion about that in his notes on this Gemara. So anyway, there is an interesting
what exactly,
point.
What exactly is the meaning of Shabbat Chachol?
It means make your Shabbos a weekday. In other words, let your Shabbos be like a regular weekday in terms of the food that you eat. Rather than taking tzedakah from other people. So again, in Shulchan Aruch it discusses the ins and outs of that, because you have on the other hand it says Labu alai bani pereya, borrow money on my account, Hashem says, for Shabbos and Yom Tov, and I'll pay you back. So in Shulchan Aruch it discusses the various ins and outs of that, when we say one, when we say the other, and even Asei Shabbat Chachol, the Gemara does say that even so, the person should try to scrimp a little bit during the week and have at least one special dish for Shabbos. Anyway, I was going
to
say
it only applies to food on Shabbos.
It applies to food, but Pashtos, it applies mainly to food. I mean, you have also as far as Shabbos candles, because those are necessary for Shalom Bayis. The Rambam, in fact, writes at the end of Hilchos Chanukah that a person is so poor that he can't afford both candles for Shabbos and candles for Chanukah. Then, even though Chanukah is important for Sumin Nisa, nevertheless, Shabbos candles come first for Shalom Bayis. Anyway, I was going to say they talk about an interesting thing in this connection involving Yaakov Avinu. That says that one reason why Rachel passed away is because Yaakov was delaying in fulfilling his neder. He had made a neder, Yia Beis Alekim, and he spent 22 years before, and including 2 years on the road, before he finally came there. And it says that was a contributing factor to the fact that Rachel passed away. How does that fit with our Gemara over here that was saying not by Baal Ta'achar V'loi B'Ishtachofet. So there's a few different explanations, one of them being that when did Rochel pass away? In childbirth. That's an extra dangerous time, Sutton Makatrig, Bashasa Sakana. So therefore there was room for the Sutton to be Makatrig even on that, even though usually we would say Bahoya Bachochet, Baloy Bishtachet, because Baal Ta'achar is not a reason that a person's wife should pass away, but nevertheless a Sutton Makatrig Bashasa Sakana, and maybe that was reason enough for that. Also, of course, you know, Tzadikim, maybe says Medaktik Chota Saira. I saw a very interesting explanation in that connection also, like this. In Parshas Vayetze, when Yaakov first comes there, it says he set up the stone as a matseva. Now, Rashi tells us later on, and much later in Parshas Shoftim, we're not allowed to make a matseva because the goyim took that on as a choik for Avodah Zarah. Therefore, we can only make a mizbeach. So the Meshech Chochma says an interesting idea. Maybe when did that change take place? Maybe during the time when Yaakov was away in Choron. They saw he had set up a matseva over there. So they had the idea of setting up matsevas for their getches. So by the time Yaakov comes back, in other words, he can't make a matseva anymore. So in that sense, he really never fulfilled his neder. He said that he's going to make it a matseva. And in fact, he's not allowed to now because since then, circumstances have changed. And now he can only make a mizbeach. So therefore, in that sense, there really was an unfulfilled neder.
How long did he have to make a matseva?
Well, I mean, he made the promise when he was running away from Esav. Then he spent 22 years in, he spent 20 years in Choron and 2 years on the road. So in particular, the fact that he spent 2 years on the road is held against him because at least he should have tried to hurry back as fast as possible to do it. There's a medrash someplace that says that the Eved Shtah gave, like so to speak, gave Yaakov a whole bunch of hints. He met up with Esav and had to give him a huge present. Then he had the whole thing with fighting the Malach and with Dinah and so on and so forth. And still Yaakov like didn't get the hint that he needs to hurry up and get to Basel and fulfill his neder. And finally the Eved Shtah has to tell him, look, kum alei Basel, enough with the hints. I'm just going to tell you straight out because you're not getting it. So yeah. I want to mention
this.
It didn't take 2 years on the road because of Sakonas Nefashos. When he first ran away to Choron, but afterwards, at the point that he should have hurried back as soon as possible. I was going to say, I read in this connection a very funny story involving this Gemara over here about that if a person makes a neder and doesn't pay it, then Ishtar can pass away. The story goes that there was this Yid who was a tremendous miser, so they could never get anything out of him for tzedakah, and also he was having Shalom Bayis problems. So one time he goes to one of the tzedikim of his times, Shalom Kaminfer was his name, and he asks him, can you please daven that my wife, can you please curse my wife that she should die? I can't stand her anymore. So Shalom tells him, you know, you're not allowed to curse a Yid. I'll tell you what, though. He quotes him in this Gemara. You know what? So fine, we need a mikveh here in town. Pledge that you're going to give money towards the mikveh. Don't fulfill it. And then you'll have. Then it'll happen what you want. So the guy does that. Time passes. Nothing happens. His wife is still perfectly healthy. So he comes back to Rav Shalom. Rav Shalom tells, you know, the expression in the Gemara is ishtei shel adam. You got to act to her like a husband towards a wife. Then it'll start happening. So he patched things up with his wife, and now they're getting along very nicely. Then she becomes very sick. So now he comes to Rav Shalom. He says, now I don't want her to die. Can you daven for her? So Rav Shalom tells him, okay, well, now you got to fulfill your neder and then your wife will recover. So he managed to accomplish two things then to work out Shalom Bayis between them and to get money out of this Kamsin. So they say that the Divrei Chaim, Rav Chaim Tzanzer, told over the story, and he said, you can see he was a good friend of this Rav Shalom, and he said, you see what a kluger yid Rav Shalom was, that he's able to kill two birds with one stone like that.
Rav Shalom from where?
He was a Talmud of Rav Naftali Rapshitzer and some of the tzaddikim of that time.
Which town was that?
He was a rabbi in Kamenkan and some other towns. I don't know where one of those little shtetlach in Eastern Europe. I don't know.
Okay.